Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league.
Head, head. All right, guys.
FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
What's up? What's going on, party people? Welcome to week 5 of The Takeover. Fantasy football podcast brought to you, of course, by the good people over at Scout Fantasy. You're rocking with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. You can follow me on Twitter, at FantasyExec. Pretty shortly be joining my Hall of Fame partner, Chris DeCaro. You can follow him on Twitter, at Chris DeCaro, GST. Hall of Fame, high-stakes fantasy football player. Getting ready to rock and roll, get you ready for week 5 of the upcoming season. So far, what's been a pretty topsy-turvy season, a lot of injuries, a lot of misperformances, a lot of players that normally don't play well, playing over their heads, over their expectations. A lot of veteran players also this season have been very poor. So a lot of things we didn't expect going on. Of course, we're still trying to figure out a way to not navigate this whole thing and get you ready for at least a trip to the playoffs. Chris, we'll come in here and start talking about week 5 right quick. But I tell you what, buddy, right now I'm a 2-2 guy. I'm a 2-2 cat. I am 2-2, middle of the pack. I'm mediocre at best in the majority of my leagues.
Yeah, Corey. I think a lot of people are. Hey, it could be worse, buddy. Could be 0-4 and pretty much looking out of it. But, 2-2. Looks like a lot of my teams right now as well. Lucky I have a couple 3-1 and 4-0s, but for the majority, they're all about, listen, the first 2 weeks were really bad, so luckily I fought back in most of my leagues the last couple weeks. And now, hey, if you were lucky enough to get off to if you weren't lucky enough to get off to a good start and you fought back and you're back to even, well, hey, season starts this week, so let's get it going.
No doubt. One of the things I've always noticed throughout the course of the years of playing fantasy football, there's always going to be a team in that middle of the pack range that always makes a jump towards the end of the season
right. And
makes a push towards that championship.
Yep.
Those teams are going to be us this year as we get you ready to dominate your fantasy football leagues. Chris, I want to hop into the game and spend a lot of time on the game today. Go through week 5, talk about some of these teams, some of these players, hop right into some action so we can go ahead and finish the whole thing. The slate this week is minus 14, so we should be able to get through over the course of the next 55 minutes or so. Chris, you know who's on bye this week? I know Carolina's
on bye. Yeah, the two London
teams.
The two teams that played in London last week, Jets and Dolphins, are off this week. Cam Newton's on a bye after his nice 4-0 start, and obviously a great pick so far late in drafts. He's produced QB1 numbers, and then Adrian Peterson, a big part of people's fantasy teams, he's on a bye this week. So, nice little mixture there of some decent fantasy talent. On those teams, you got obviously Jarvis Landry and Brandon Marshall, some, big time wide receivers that are out, and, a couple good running backs, like I said, in Peterson.
You know what, before we get into the game action, I got a message in my inbox today on Facebook, and I normally try to take fantasy questions in my personal Facebook page on my inbox. It's kind of like a little bit of a violation to me, but it is what it is, because of the territory. Normally, I just let the questions sit there. I found one today that was quite interesting, though. Guy asked me, who would you – I got a guy coming after me. He wants my – no, I'm taking one of his wide receivers. Which one would you pick, Brandon Marshall or Mike Evans? I would have never thought in week 5 that we'd be saying to myself, well, boy, I tell you what, that's pretty intriguing. I don't know which one to take. Marshall or Evans. That's the kind of season it's been, Chris.
That's a really interesting one to throw out there, Corey. That's a great one to bring up because, you know, obviously right off the bat you go, oh, Mike Evans was a borderline late second rounder in draft season. But you know what? Now that we've seen the first 4 weeks and the way these teams are performing and everything, you got to scrap what happened in August and early September and go off of what you see with your own eyes. And Brandon Marshall is a monster again this year. And I'm not saying that Mike Evans might not get it going. Obviously, the injury the first couple weeks with the hamstring and him not being out, he's got to gradually get into, you know, into rhythm, especially with a rookie quarterback. But you know what? It might sound crazy to our listeners right now, but if I got the choice, I'll roll with Brandon Marshall.
Only thing, like I said, that would concern me is Marshall has had an injury history as of late. But Evans is dealing with the situation really right now with his hamstring to start the season. So I'm kind of like torn on that. But just for him to say, who would have thunk that we'd be this far into the fantasy football season and we'd be worried, we'd be trying to get the value of Mike Evans and Brandon Marshall. Of course, we had no clue, not for the most part, about the situation with Geno Smith and the broken jaw.
Right.
Ryan Fitzpatrick comes right in, slides into Chan Gailey's offense. You know what? A lot of places where I lost Romo, I'm riding Ryan Fitzpatrick because Chan Gailey's system is a system that he knows well. And you know what? So far, he's performing well in it.
And the offense has exceeded expectations, and it's a three-man offense. And what I say by that is you have that one solid running back that you could rely on. I'm willing to say Chris Ivory could be a legit top 12 running back. He's one piece. You got a legit wide receiver one with Brandon Marshall. He looks like one of these 7 for 100 and a touchdown type wide receiver ones every week. And then on the opposite side, you got a really nice, solid wide receiver two with Eric Decker. He seems to be over his injury. He got back in the lineup this week, and
he scored again.
Yeah, and he scored again. So, a nice, solid three-piece offense with those three guys, and I'd roll all three of them out week in and week out from here on out after the bye. You hope that Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't come back to life, but he looks a lot better than any of us ever thought he could.
Let's talk about this week, week five. Let's get into it. The Houston Texans, with just about nobody to catch the football, are 1-point home favorite against the Indianapolis Colts. Vegas has Houston for 23 points, Indianapolis for 21 points. That's three touchdowns on both sides of the football, Chris. I tell you what, the fact that Andrew Luck, as we sit less than 25 hours before game time, is listed as questionable, I still think that is concerning.
Well, let's talk about it, Corey. I mean, this has become like Andrew Luckgate, you know? A lot of gates going on this week. Yeah, man. But this Watergate, you got the – yeah, well, we won't get into the other ones, but the Daily Gate. We'll call that one Daily Gate.
Leak Gate. So let's leave Leak Gate out of it until we get some more information in the facts.
Yeah, we'll leave Leak Gate out of it. But, You know what, man? This is crazy, and it's funny, too, because real quick, and then we'll get back to this game, but, like, you know, we all have our friends outside, you know, that, you know, they rely on, you know, a guy like you. They're all, you know, I'm sure you have a bunch of your good friends that are always calling you for information and
every day before
the season. Every day. Listen, it's no different with me and all my friends. All my friends are texting me, calling me before the season. Who am I taking in my drafts? Guide me. You know, everything. And just like me, I said, hey, listen, I'm all in on Andrew Luck. So here we go. I got all my friends texting me every little piece of information, you know, all day long. Hey, this report just came out. He was seen at practice. He was throwing. The coach said this. I mean, it's crazy. I've never seen in the last 7 days a player been, you know, with more news, like up to the minute, than Andrew Luck has been in the last week. And you know, Corey, I was taken by surprise on Sunday. If I had to bet money, I would have said he was playing on Sunday. Woke up early Sunday morning, and I was like, oh, my God, no. And then I had to scramble through God knows how many leagues to take him out of my lineup and put Andy Dalton in, who's my backup to Andrew Luck. But anyway, Core, I mean, let me throw this one back at you. What do you think? You know what? The latest news so far is what I don't like is they re-signed Josh Johnson. Now, I know that, you know, you got to kind of, like, look into these things a little bit more. And when they cut him on Monday, I said, all right, Andrew Luck is good for Thursday. They released Josh Johnson, so that means they're not worried. Luck is good to go. Now they brought him back this morning. Now, is that something where, uh-oh, you know, like, let's, you know, Luck isn't looking too good? But then on the flip side, Corey, Matt Hasselbeck has been out with the flu for a couple of days. So now is Josh Johnson re-signed to back up Luck because Hasselbeck's been out? There's a million things going on here. I don't like that it's a Thursday night game, Corey. I mean, it's good for all of us that have them. It's good for all of us that have them because, you know, obviously we can make plans once, you know, an hour before the game starts and with pickups and everything. But the bad news is you look at it and they say, all right, we got 10 more days after this Thursday for Andrew Luck to heal a little more. That's why I'm thinking maybe he sits out one more game.
And you know what? Another thing I think is also the questionable tag. Mind you, this is we're speaking live on a Wednesday night. The game is Thursday night. And they've been saying the reports have been good coming out of the coaching staff all week. Then why is he not probable? Why is he questionable? So once again, that's my concern with the situation.
Yeah. And Chuck Pagano, I don't know what this guy's problem is. Yeah, I don't know what Chuck Pagano's issue is, but I mean, if you listen to this guy, and I was reading everything he said day by day. This guy acts like Andrew Luck's 100%, and like he doesn't even know there's an injury. Like he's like, no, Andrew Luck will be there. Andrew Luck. And then the game, there's a lot riding on Andrew Luck, man. So it's, believe me, I'm up to the minute with all my Andrew Luck news, and I'm waiting like, you know, a kid in a candy store waiting. But, you know, we'll see.
Andrew
Luck
we'll supporters.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, Andrew Luck supporters really do need a support group at this time. Because, like you said, a lot of teams all in on Luck. My Andrew Luck team is 4-0-4. But actually, that's in a league that's not one penny has been put on that league. So I have no issue with that. But let's look at the Indianapolis Colts offense right now. We know what it is. I mean, it's – you know what? I want to talk about the wide receiver situation.
Yeah.
Dante Moncrief has really emerged this season to where he's almost looking like the wide receiver one in Indianapolis. We feel like Andre Johnson is a guy that should be on waiver wires. Looking at Luck and Hilton the rest of the season, Chris, what do you think? Hilton and Moncrief.
I know. Right. You know, obviously everything depends on Andrew Luck. You know, I don't want Matt Hasselbeck throwing to these guys, you know, for the foreseeable future. But let's go off the premise that Andrew Luck comes back tomorrow and he's healthy the rest of the season. Hilton and Moncrief are every week starters. Moncrief's basically a wide receiver two. Hilton would be a wide receiver one. These guys are reliable, probably both top 15 wide receivers in fantasy the rest of the way. PPR monsters, both of them, 7-8 catch game guys. I was worried. I'm a big Hilton and Moncrief owner everywhere in all my leagues, and I was hesitant once Andrew Luck was out, what I should do. Should I split them up? Should I just play one? But then you don't even know which one's the lead guy. Like, you know, do I take out Hilton and play Moncrief or vice versa? And, you know, with Hasselbeck on the center, they both had 7 catches, you know, 7 to like 65 in that range. It was nothing spectacular, but they gave both good games. You got to figure that continues with Andrew Luck out there. You don't want to see Andre Johnson, like, even, you know, take away from the other two. I'd rather Andre Johnson at this point. He is what he is. And unless some miracle happens where he all of a sudden looks better, just keep him off to the side and let this be an Andrew Luck with Hilton and Moncrief offense. So at least we know that we have two stud wide receivers that we can rely on every week.
No, I agree with you on that, buddy. I want to move on the other side of the football.
Yeah.
When you look at the Houston Texans offense, of course, listen, when it comes to DFS, I fade Thursday night. But I tell you what, Arian Foster is going to get that workload tomorrow. Not a bad option if you want to throw Arian Foster in one of your daily lineups. DeAndre Hopkins, Do you think DeAndre Hopkins draws Vontae Davis for the entire game?
Oh, well, I mean, Corey, this is the big thing. This is the major thing to wait for this year, this week. Vontae Davis isn't going to play tomorrow.
He's not?
No. Vontae Davis right now is probably 95% out. He hasn't practiced at all. Basically hasn't even been at the – or even around. He suffered he got a little bit of a concussion.
He's in the protocol.
He's on a short week. You're not going to see Vontae Davis. He's actually, I think they labeled him doubtful. I got to check on that one, but I think he's doubtful for tomorrow. And that's a major, major issue based off DeAndre Hopkins. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, it is.
You take away Vontae Davis. Now DeAndre Hopkins could go crazy tomorrow night. Vontae Davis plays somehow, you know, then you got to temper your expectations on DeAndre Hopkins because Vontae Davis is one of the better cornerbacks in the league, even though he hasn't had a great start to the season, shutting, you know, wide receiver ones down. He's still an elite corner, but he's been dealing with these injuries lately. So that's something to keep on tomorrow in the inactives, and we'll know, obviously, probably in the daytime if Vontae Davis is even going to play. But DeAndre Hopkins is a top play this week in daily if you're including the Thursday night slate. And I'm with you, Corey. The same thing with Arian Foster. I could see his workload. They probably wanted to, you know, limit him the first game back. He still played 33% of snaps. So he got a good amount of touches. I'd fire him up from here on out against a weak Colts defense. But, you know, Nate Washington, Cecil Shorts, they're both out tomorrow night. They're both out. So now we're looking at, you know, a waiver wire pickup. One of the waiver wire names you're going to see on waivers as everybody gets to set their waiver list is the rookie Mumphrey. He'll probably be the number two opposite of DeAndre Hopkins. There's really not much else in this offense for tomorrow night's game, Corey. So you're looking at pretty much every time the ball is snapped, it's either going to be in Foster or Hopkins' hands.
And that's what, if you're a Foster or Hopkins owner, that's what we like to see. We move down get to the Sunday action. Jacksonville is in Tampa Bay, two Florida teams, two teams that are not playing so good right now, but I think Jacksonville team is actually a team that can do well this year. Tampa Bay is the favorite in this game, projected for 23 points, while Jacksonville is projected for 20. You know how I feel about Jacksonville. Blake Bortles is a guy I have on some of these teams to take some of the slack off of Tony Romo and Andrew Luck and some of the other quarterback injuries. And I tell you what, were we misdrafting Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns? Because Hurns has come out the gate as a stud so far this season. And I got people actually putting Allen Robinson on their bench.
Allen Robinson on the bench or Allen Hurns, you're saying?
A lot of guys are coming at me this week, some of the stuff I'm getting on Twitter. People are putting Robinson on their bench, and Hurns is becoming a fixture in lineups. Robinson is still the elite PPR talent, in my opinion, but Allen Hurns has gotten off to a monster start so far this season.
Yeah, I wouldn't, Corey, for those people that are texting you that way, I wouldn't be putting Allen Robinson on my bench. Allen Robinson in week two showed what he can do with that huge game versus the Dolphins. So, no concerns with Allen Robinson. He even had Vontae Davis on him last week. 4-catch, 80-yard performance. He's still the number one receiver in that offense. He's still, you know, a wide receiver, too, in my eyes. It's just, here comes Allen Hurns, and he's a nice piece in this offense. A nice guy that you could throw in there now as, you know, maybe even a wide receiver three. But, you know, definitely can use him as a flex. And, you know, I used him as a flex last week in a couple leagues that I was shorthanded with the buys and a couple injuries, and it worked out great. He had a monster game. Now, I don't expect that every week. I wouldn't put him in, like, an elite class all of a sudden based off a couple nice games. But, yeah, he's another wide receiver that's taken another step, a nice find deep in drafts.
If there's anything that says late-round quarterback is the way to go, even though I know that's not your philosophy, Chris. One of the things, when Blake Bortles gets, because Julius Thomas will likely be a game-time decision this time next week, when he gets Thomas back, I still got faith in Blake Bortles in this passing game. Getting that weapon with Thomas back, this is a guy that can score 20 to 22, maybe even 24 fantasy points at the quarterback position every week in Bortles.
Yeah, Corey, that's the key. I mean, I'm shocked, you know, that Julius Thomas still isn't back now. I obviously drafted him as a backup tight end on a lot of my leagues because I expected to have him back now. And
I certainly did also.
Yeah, week three, I mean, you know, coming into the season, he was supposed to be ready by week three, at latest four. Well, now here we are in week four, and he's not ready. And who knows, maybe next week he's 50-50. And then I'm pretty sure, Corey, that they have a bye. So, you know, we're talking now into the midway into the fantasy season. But let's just say Julius Thomas gets back into this offense next week and he's healthy. You're right. Blake Bortles could become a top 12 quarterback in fantasy the rest of the way if Julius Thomas is as good as he did in preseason. Because now you got a legit one with Allen Robinson. You got a nice athletic tight end and Allen Hurns with a nice running back in the backfield that could catch the ball. It's going to be a lot better offense than anybody ever thought. And Bortles could be that 270 and two touchdown guy that if you waited on quarterback or if you're a Romo Roethlisberger owner and he's your backup, maybe he's good enough to, you know, to get you through the season. But I want to see what this offense looks like when Julius Thomas gets back. I think it'll be a pretty good one.
I agree. T.J. Yeldon is a player that's coming on also. Going over to Tampa Bay Buccaneers side of the football, I don't know what to do with their running backs. I have a team that I have Doug Martin and Charles Sims. Got Charles Sims in a couple lineups, a couple leagues. He's an intriguing play in the PPR, Charles Sims. You just don't know when to put him in your lineup because you don't know when it's going to happen. Really difficult to predict game strip with Tampa Bay. And for the most part, they're going to be losing, and Winston's going to be winging it, but he could be throwing interceptions also. We've seen massive target week of 17 for Mike Evans. Then, of course, Vincent Jackson goes off this week. This team is no definition in what they can do fantasy-wise. Somebody's going to get the production each and every week, but you just never know who it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mystery offense, Corey. You know, all the people that expected Mike Evans to finally come to life last week, well, guess what? Vincent Jackson went 10 catches, 100 and I think 40 yards and a touchdown. He had the monster game. So now everybody that was giving up on Vincent Jackson before last week, they're going to jump back on the Vincent Jackson train. Who knows? Maybe it's Mike Evans week. This is a game that, you know, I think you could start Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson comfortably and expect, you know, good production out of both of them versus Jacksonville secondary. So I would be comfortable with both of them. Doug Martin, though, that's the guy to talk about here, Corey. People are starting to give up hope on him through 3 weeks, and then he comes back with a monster game last week. So now is everybody back on him? Is everybody believing? He's got another nice matchup along with the receivers with Jacksonville. So this is probably a week where you put your Tampa Bay Buccaneer offensive players in and hope that they produce again.
No doubt, and I think they are some contrarian plays in daily, especially Mike Evans. After D-Jax goes off last week, I guarantee you Mike Evans is going to be very lowly owned in daily. let me stop. He should be very lowly owned. I don't have access to that information, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, choose your words wisely, Corey.
Yes, I do not have access to that information, but I almost feel pretty sure that Mike Evans is a player that will have a low ownership percentage this upcoming Sunday. Talking about the Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans, Tyrod Taylor really letting owners down last week. A lot of people were in on him last week. Bills are projected to score 23 points in this game. That's what Vegas has them at. Going up against Tennessee, who is terrific. Expected to score 20 points. Mariota's a player I like, but I want to talk about Taylor first. Yeah, Taylor was supposed to be the man last week. Everybody was all in on Taylor, and he struggled against the Giants defense in a game at home. Now you look at the weapons around him. You know what? Is it anybody that's really – I mean, we like Carlos Williams, who's concussed, likely to get some Dixon this week. Go ahead.
Right. No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you know, there's not much to talk about with this game, but I will say – two things. On the Buffalo Bills side, yes, Tyrod Taylor disappointed last week in a good matchup. Everybody thought he could be a top 10 quarterback. A nice find really late in drafts, a name that everybody knows, but everybody for some reason avoided at the tight end position was Charles Clay. Charles Clay.
Well, you know Greg Roman's offense did not feature the tight end for years. We saw Vernon Davis and Greg Roman hell last year, and that's why nobody was on Charles Clay. But listen, he's been very impressive so far.
Really, he's putting up big numbers now. And with Sammy Watkins out and obviously McCoy, I mean, Charles Clay's had to step up now. And Tyrod Taylor has, you know, he's got Tyrod Taylor's eye. I mean, you know, over the Robert Woods and Percy Harvin's, who I still won't trust and don't trust. But if there's one guy that's off, it'd be Charles Clay. So I like Charles Clay at the tight end position, especially in a week where you got the Jordan Reeds out and, you know, other, you know, four tight ends on byes and the tight end position in football once again this year being a complete mess. Charles Clay is a top 10 every week starter in fantasy right now at the tight end position. And, you know, at the running back position, you know, Carlos Williams, everybody was, you know, all fired up, you know, to get him going. You know, the reports are that McCoy could miss 3 to 4 weeks. So everyone that, you know, put that lottery ticket on Carlos Williams and expected a huge game from him last week, you know, he had an okay game. Luckily, he got in the end zone. But, you know, do you trust Booby Dixon this week if Carlos Williams can't go? That's another name you'll probably see on the waiver wire tonight, Corey. People trying to get a cheap start out of Anthony Dixon. I'll pass. You know, I'm not going to go in on
that.
It's not that bad yet. And let's you know, look at what just happened this past week in high-stakes leagues all across the board. You know, everybody saw Marshawn Lynch is going to be out. Let's pick up Thomas Rawls. Crazy money is thrown at a running back that, at best, you're getting one start out of him. Now, I understand teams are desperate and people are desperate, but to our listeners out there, don't go and blow half your yearly fab money just because you're getting a running back to start for 1 week. I don't care how bad it is. You know how bad it is? If that guy doesn't have a huge week, just like this guy Thomas Rawls this past week for Seattle didn't have. Well, let's look. Now you're out of your money. You're out of half of your money. You got one start for 5 or 6 points, and now you're back to being irrelevant again, and you know, with the starter coming back. So if Carlos Williams comes back even this week or the following week, you know, don't go wasting crazy money on Booby Dixon, just like, you know, you shouldn't have on Thomas Rawls.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. I am very skeptical of each and every running back that comes off the waiver wire. It always have been. When it comes to spending my fab bucks on him, unless it's a guy like a Nile Davis who's not even safe now. But you kind of get the point where, I mean, Carlos Williams is a guy you spend a big amount of fab on. If you find out McCoy is done, but Williams is already secured and locked on teams right now. Speaking of running backs, who's the running back in Tennessee, Chris?
Good as mine. It's a three-headed monster, and as I say that,
you know what
it's
that
not
means,
a
Chris. If you got three, you don't have one.
Yeah, if you got three, you got none. But, Corey, you know, I almost said three-headed monster. It's not a monster, believe me.
No, it's not by any stretch of the imagination.
Like the book, man. But, listen, Antonio Andrews came on the last game, got in the end zone, looked decent. Yeah, you know, you saw his name on the waiver wire getting picked up last week. I don't trust any of them. Sankey, maybe the guy I would always pick up, you know, pick up and throw in here and there is Dexter McCluster, to be honest with you. Dexter McCluster is a guy that, you know, you could throw him in there and you could rely on him. He's going to catch 4 or 5 balls for 30, 40 yards every week. And if you're desperate, you know, take the 8-10 points at the running back position, you know, if you're in desperate need, instead of relying on a Sankey and or an Andrews, any of these guys that could give you a zero. But I don't recommend any of them, Corey. But the guy I do really like, once again, in this Tennessee offense, he disappeared a little last year, but the year before that was a stud, a PPR stud, and I think he's back to stay. Kendall Wright, Corey. I think Kendall Wright's going to be a monster the rest of the year. He's off to a great start. He looks like he's Mariota's, you know, number one go-to guy. You can rely on, I think, 6 to 8 catches every week from Kendall Wright.
Mariota a great play in daily contest this week. Do you pay him with Kendall Wright?
That would be a nice little stack, Corey. Mariota to Kendall Wright. The Bills' secondary has been had. You know, the Bills' strength is up front, not in the back end. So, you know, hey, Kendall Wright at any week could go for, you know, those 10 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown. And, you know, not a lot of people, you know, he's not the sexy name that you're going to see in a lot of people's lineups.
I'm halfway through the program, got to get through the rest of these 1 o'clock starts, look through the 4 o'clock games. Want to move on to the Cleveland Browns in Baltimore to take on the Ravens, pair AFC North rivals. This one is sitting at Baltimore's a good 6.5 home favorite, 24.5 projected total for the Ravens, 17 for Cleveland. Duke Johnson should not be on the waiver wire anywhere, but should he be in lineups moving forward?
Yes. Love Duke Johnson going forward.
You have him anywhere,
Chris?
I don't have him nowhere.
Yeah, I do. Yes,
wow.
I do. And luckily I had him in for a couple lineups last week, but from now on he's going to be in. I know a lot of our listeners probably are sick of hearing me always talk about the Danny Woodheads and Gio Bernards of the world, but guess what? We can add another name into that list, and his name's Duke Johnson, Corey. This guy, I mean, he gave you wide receiver numbers last week. 9 catches, 85 yards, and that's besides his rushing yards. You know, this guy, this is what they've been waiting for. Forget about your Isaiah Crowells, even though he did have a pretty good game last week. This guy is a with not much in the passing game for Cleveland, Duke Johnson is going to catch a good amount of balls every week. I would have him in my lineup every week. Duke Johnson's a top 15, 20 running back by the end of the year. I love Duke Johnson the rest of the way.
PPR guy, definitely somebody you can target in a trade if you're in a league with a home league where trades are going on and stuff like that. A player I like too.
Yeah.
On the Baltimore side of the football, really nothing else really to talk about in Cleveland. On the Baltimore side of the football, Justin Forsett finally got it going last week against a weak Steelers defense. They have no wide receivers to speak of on that team right now. But the injury to Steve Smith, I really can't get behind Kamal Aiken and Marlon Brown. A lot of these guys we've seen before, Perriman, yet to see the football field yet. Crockett Gilmore, Max Williams. I mean, this whole thing looks like nothing but Justin Forsett. But
why is he catching balls? Why isn't he catching any balls out of the backfield, Clark?
Mark Trestman's office. There we go. What happened?
Yeah, exactly. What happened? That's all we heard all July and August. Oh, Forsett's going to catch 100 balls with Trestman there. This guy doesn't catch any balls. He ran for 150 yards, no catches again. He's got a great matchup, and without the receivers and no Steve Smith this week, you got to figure that he touches the ball 25 times this week. I'd be firing him up in daily all across the board this week. The Browns are terrible against the run so far. It all adds up to a really nice big Justin Forsett day. So, you know, that's the offense. And there's really not much else to talk about in this offense, like you said. But for the leagues that do have Kamar Aiken available, you will see he'll be a popular waiver wire pickup in bigger leagues tonight. He produced nice numbers last week, and hey, Flacco's going to have to throw it to somebody, so Kamar Aiken looks like the top target this week.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity will present chances for fantasy points, but this is an overall pitiful situation going on in Baltimore right now. Yeah, I feel like there's no way that crew should have came in to this season with that offense looking like that with these pieces, so they definitely expect a better job out of Ozzie Newsome and the crew.
Yeah, it wasn't good to begin with, and now minus Steve Smith, who was having a great, you know, first 4 games, there's not much behind him. I know they drafted, obviously, Perriman to be the number 2, but he's gone now. It's a broken-down offense right now, Corey.
Chris, you know I always try to get on a takeover. We always try to get a week ahead. I don't know if we mentioned it last week or not, but I want to get to the next contest. Washington is in Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Washington projected to score 20 points. Atlanta's projected total is looking at 27. Atlanta, a big 7-point home favorite. They played excellent at home, this team does. Don't worry about Julio Jones being a dog last week. Of course, they'll get it right back, warmed up. Hankerson has been a pleasant surprise, not to mention Devonta Freeman. I have this guy nowhere. I am so disgusted with myself, and he is really showing out right now. But I tell you what, Mm-hmm. Before we get to the Falcons, Chris, you look at the other side of the ball, nobody's talking about Jamison Crowder. And Jamison Crowder has an opportunity, especially this week, to be a 9-10 catch guy, because they're going to be playing from behind. Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. We understand that. But why not Jamison Crowder? A dollar make you hollow the night on Jamison Crowder. I picked him up some places last week. He's in my lineup this week, and I have him in DFS action this week, too. You know what? He's getting the targets. Jordan Reed not going to be in the lineup. Deshaun Jackson still dealing with the hamstring. Why not Jamison Crowder?
Marcus Trufant probably on Pierre Garçon. Kirk Cousins is going to have to look somewhere else. Like you just said, major reason to love Jamison Crowder is, Jordan Reed not being in the slot this week. I don't think you trust, the backup tight end carrier. This kid, Jamison Crowder, who was one of my favorite college players the last couple of years at Duke. This guy was like, he was like the Wes Welker of college football the last couple of years, where just every game he would just turn out 8 to 12 catches. And I'm shocked that he fell as far as he did in the draft. He's not that big, but he is a little PPR machine. And he'll be a popular name, another really, really popular name off the waiver wire tonight in high-stakes leagues. And I'm with you, Corey. I like him in Atlanta, probably playing from behind. Falcons are playing great football. You just mentioned Devontae Freeman. Well, let's back it up. You mentioned Julio Jones. Nothing to talk about there. Still the number one wide receiver in my mind in fantasy football this year. Absolute stud. They blew out the Texans. They didn't need him. They rested him the whole second half to rest his, just to rest him for bigger and better things ahead. Game script totally took Julio out of the game. You don't got to worry about that. Devontae Freeman, though, Corey, you know what's crazy? Tevin Coleman was the starter. If Tevin Coleman doesn't go down with an injury.
This is Tevin Coleman right now. Tevin Coleman, a player I do have shares of.
Uh-huh. 100%. I have Tevin Coleman on a handful of teams. This guy looked good the first couple of weeks. This could have been Tevin Coleman right now, but instead Devontae Freeman jumps in. Probably runs away with the job now, looking unbelievable. I don't like him. Now, talk about contrarian, Corey, if we want to just, talk DFS real quick on what do you think happens with a guy like Devontae Freeman? I was surprised that everybody went right back to him the second week after blowing up. I don't like to go get on a guy after the week he blows up, I like to get off of him then. But people went right back to him a second week, got rewarded. Do you think a lot of people are going to go back to him 3 weeks in a row against a really run defense like the Redskins? They have I think they're ranked number one against the run right now. Me, I would jump ship right now and I would avoid him in daily this week. I'd be interested to see what you say and what other people are going to do this week with Freeman.
I liked him last week, but I played Melvin Gordon instead a lot of places. But I did like him last week. Now, but I didn't play him. So that goes to show you how much I really did like him. This week, I agree. The situation with Washington's front has finally improved. Their team is playing like they think they got a shot at their contender. Atlanta has beat every NFC East team so far. So D.C. goes down there and try to hold their own. So in DFS purposes, no. I think I'm going to fade him this week. I like Julio. I'm going to have a lot of shares of Julio because Washington is terrible in the secondary. You may get some Hankerson out of me this week, too. But I tell you what, on the other
revenge
side of football, who do you play in DFS? $4,000 is the price for draft on DraftKings for Matt Jones and $4,000 for Alfred Morris. You know what?
Okay.
One of these guys have opportunity this week, and I think it's Jones because he's the pass catcher.
How about this, Corey? How about I say neither,
and
another
Thompson.
Hot waiver ticket is Chris Thompson. There you go.
Yep.
Chris Thompson is getting a lot of play right now, and every time I'm watching the Redskins, it seems like I'm watching Chris Thompson instead of Alfred Morris and Matt Jones. So another three-headed monster, if you want to say. I really don't want any piece. It seems like Chris Thompson is the guy that when the Redskins are playing from behind, he's the pass-catching back now. even more than Matt Jones. And I don't know if it's because that Matt Jones fumble, you know, versus the Giants the previous week, but seems like he's cooled off a little bit in the eyes of everybody playing fantasy. But this kid, Chris Thompson, he's going to be a hot pickup right now, and he could catch a lot of balls out of the backfield in that game. The Falcons, the Falcons led up the number one amount of catches to running backs out of the backfield.
So you have it right there. That's the information. Yep. That's why you come to the takeover. And Chris Thompson, definitely interesting. Chicago Bears and Kansas City Chiefs. Surprised to see Jay Cutler last week, but was also happy to see him because I need some quarterback help in some leagues. So Jay Cutler's all around the waiver wires. So if you got quarterback issues, be sure to check with Jay Cutler. I wouldn't be surprised if he's hiding out there somewhere beneath the Mariotas and some of the guys already popped off the waiver wire so far this season. Anyway, they're a 9-point road dog versus Kansas City.
Yeah.
17.5 for the Bears, 27 for KC. Get it, they're in trouble. This is a Jamal Charles game right here. Charles, a player, probably the number one player for me off the board this week. I'll start my DFS lineups with him, and, of course, obviously, season-long leagues, you know Jamal Charles is in there each and every week. KC, the offense is simple. It's Jamal Charles. It's Travis Kelce. You know the pieces. Alex Smith is a guy that I have put in some DFS lineups this week. What do you think about that? And trust me, I know how limited Alex Smith is.
That's got to hurt, though, putting him in. Honestly,
no,
I would never.
No, my stomach turned when I did that.
Corey, I would never put him in on any season-long or daily team. He has to be the most frustrating quarterback to watch in fantasy with his checkdowns and just that. But whatever, we won't waste time talking about him. Guy you left out, though, Corey, when he talks about, and you're starting these three guys with Charles and Kelce, Jeremy Maclin is coming on
Jeremy
now,
Maclin.
Man.
Yes, he has. He certainly has. You're absolutely correct.
People were worried about him through, you know, about a game and a half. It's funny, that Monday night game a couple weeks ago versus the Packers, he had no catches at halftime. He was looking like a bust for the season. People on Twitter were panicking. And then ever since then, he turned it on, and this guy's a target monster. He's catching 8, 9, 10 balls. Another great matchup versus the Bears. You got to start all three of those guys. Charles is going to have a big game. Kelce and Maclin, one of them is going to have a huge game, or maybe both of them. So the Chiefs coming off a couple losses, coming back home. This one's going to get ugly, Corey. I wouldn't start any Bears. Who knows what Alshon Jeffrey's story is, if he's even going to show back
up.
Oh, you're getting screwed, Alshon Jeffrey owners. I feel bad for all of you people. Don't even like Forte and Daly this week. I just think this is a Chiefs get well game, and that's all I'll say about that one.
New Orleans in Philadelphia, very fantasy-friendly contest, 49.5
is
the total, 27 on Philly side, 23 on New Orleans side. Willie Snead is another name we should see tonight, Chris. What do you think about Willie Snead?
Willie Snead will be one of the top two guys off waivers. We talked about pretty much all the guys on waivers in high stakes leagues. That you'll see tonight, the Willie Sneeds, the Kamar Akins, the Jamison Crowders, even the Dixons. That's pretty much the waiver wire this week. It's ugly, Corey. Let's not, in the leagues we play in, there's not much out there on waivers unless somebody made a mistake and dropped a decent player. But nobody's making a mistake and dropping anything worth a talent. In these leagues, especially with so little talent in fantasy this year, with teams struggling, I see a lot of ugly lineups out there and a lot of ugly, ugly benches. So nobody's dropping anybody good. You got to do your homework, and you got to work the waiver wire. But that's what we're looking at this week.
Willie Snead, because he. The running back situation is Ingram. You know, that's Ingram. Not the Josh
Ingram,
Hill. The
yeah,
Josh,
yeah.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. A beautiful week last week.
Yeah. Ingram is a legit top 10 back again this week. He's getting not only, 15 to 20 carries a game. He's catching the ball out of the backfield. Here's what bothers me with this offense, Corey, after watching the Saints closely the first couple weeks. They're playing Kyrie Robinson way too much. I'm hoping that after now Spiller getting healthy and getting back into this offense, it would be a great 1-2 punch behind this offensive line with the lack of receiving in the lack of receiving on this team. If Ingram's like, you know, the big number one back, and then C.J. Spiller is always in there, kind of like, I want to say, the exact, you know, same thing as the Cincinnati Bengals with Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard. Mark Ingram and C.J. Spiller, that should be the exact same thing. When the Saints are behind, C.J. Spiller's in there. C.J. Spiller the rest of the way is a guy I'm in love with. I think in this offense, he could be like the number two receiver for Drew Brees, a guy that could catch 6-7 balls every week, mix in 30, 40 yards. I hope Sean Payton just forgets about Kyrie Robinson and another three-headed monster in the backfield, because it's taken away the value of Ingram and Spiller. But Willie Snead looks like Brees' go-to guys. Cooks has been a major disappointment. You can't get off of him yet. Major bust so far. You know, people are panicking about him. It's crazy the amount of people that have underperformed in the first three or four rounds this year. But, you know, forget about Brandon Coleman. He was the hot name in drafts late August. He's a zero. Get rid of him. You know, hey, Willie Snead mix in a little Cooks. But, hey, Willie Snead could wind up being the number one target and number one receiver for Drew Brees the rest of the way here. Colston's another zero, Corey. So this offense is weird. Hello?
All right, Chris, you got me?
Yeah, I hear you, Corey. I'm with you.
All right, I'm back. Had a situation where, I don't know, iPhone 6, Chris. My iPhone must be a Brandon Cooks owner.
He dropped it. Yeah, a little commercial break on the takeover this week to all our listeners, but hey, we're back. So, yeah, we were talking about the Saints and Eagles game. We went through the Saints. Corey Bradford, nice little bounce back for the Eagles on the Eagles side last week in the second half. I would trust him in a high-scoring game. I'm saying with a high total this week. Hopefully he stays, you know, rolling. And Jordan Matthews, the same thing. Hopefully he gets back on track.
No, Jordan Matthews was a disappointment last week. But one thing was that about the Eagles football, and our buddy Adam Lonis mentioned it this week, Bradford took shots down the field this past week.
Yeah.
And taking shots down the field helps open up everything they're trying to do in that offense. So I do expect a nice fantasy-friendly game between the Eagles and the Saints this week. And, of course, I benched Drew Bradford 1 week. Looks like he got the message. Now he's starting to do better than what I thought a couple weeks ago. I thought, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm attacking playing Bradford. But so far,
well,
I like
Paul,
the way he bounced back the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you're right. He's, you know, a major key is he's throwing the ball down the field. He was 4 of 8 on deep balls last week. He's got a couple guys. Nobody special in that offense in terms of the wide receiver position to throw deep to. Riley Cooper caught a bomb. Miles Austin even showed up from his grave and caught a bomb. But, hey, there's enough people out there to catch these balls for them. But you're right. But remember, a couple weeks ago, I was saying in this offense, the schedule was brutal on the Eagles early. Now it opened up. The second half versus the Redskins, he took advantage of. Now we got the Saints, the Giants the following week. His schedule really opens up nice for him. I expect the Eagles offense to be on the upswing from here on out.
I agree with you 100% on that one. I will throw Jordan Matthews and Stan Bradford out in a couple of DFS contests this week. The St. Louis Rams and the Green Bay Packers. 1 p.m. start. The Packers 27.5 is the total about every week. 10-point home favorite against the St. Louis team that does not give up. There is no quit in this St. Louis Rams team. Todd Gurley back in the mix, Chris. I sent you a text message this week about Todd Gurley. I want you to tell the audience what your response to that text message was.
My response is the same one I put on Twitter, Corey. I told you top 10 back the rest of the way. And I want to take it a step further. I think he's a top 5 or 6 running back in fantasy from this day going forward the rest of the year. I've always loved Todd Gurley from the days of Georgia. We talked about it in the preseason. Once he gets healthy, this kid is a star. Going forward, he's going to be a staple in everybody's fantasy draft first round, you know, years to come. And after seeing what I saw last week, the guy's healthy, and you're about to see what Todd Gurley can do the rest of the way. With the running back position being so terrible and all these second-round running backs, people thought I was crazy on Twitter saying top 10 back the rest of the way. I challenge anybody to name me 9 better the rest of the way if he's not a top 10 running back. But the kid's got it all. I could go on and on, but I won't. He'll be a stud RB1 the rest of the way, Corey.
No passing game to speak up with this team, so we can move past that. And I agree with you, Gurley is a player that I have in a few leagues. And if you want, if somebody is coming at you right now, see, okay, here's the thing, Chris. His trade value is no higher than it is right now. It's no higher than it is right now. Even with that being said, I'm telling owners, if you're trading him, you're getting back a top 10 player in return, or else you hold on to him. Hold owners in your league that's coming after Gurley, hold them hostage right now.
Oh, yeah. You better be getting a legit wide receiver one, you know, or it's tough. I don't know what the running back equivalent would be, Corey, because, you know, the Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Eddie Lacy guys, they're holding on to those guys for dear life in leagues that you can trade because they're the elite, and nobody can touch those guys. There is no equivalent to those four. And after that, all the second-round guys are bust, and the guys that are valuable now are the later-round guys, you know, the PPR backs that we always talk about. So it's either you have the monster receivers producing or the, you know, the fines, you know, that are late and really nothing in the middle. So it's tough. What would you get for Gurley? You would have to be, you know, making a switch for, hey, I'm a little deep at running back. Maybe you're an Adrian Peterson owner, and Gurley, you got a little later. And you need help at receiver, flip them for, you know, one of these top, you know, these one of these top wide receivers.
No doubt. Got about 10 minutes left to go on the program, Chris. Quickly, any worries and concerns with Eddie Lacy?
No.
It is what
not
it is. I mean, I think he's
not
a stud down the stretch.
It's not a great matchup again this week, you know, versus the Rams, but he's going to get his. The thing that I never want to draft Eddie Lacy for, Corey, real quick, is when you get inside
Rodgers
the five,
the ball in the red zone.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers controls the offense. You know Aaron Rodgers is going to say to himself 9 out of 10 times, all right, I want to get myself another touchdown. You know, it amazes me when they get on the 2-yard line how Lacy – you know, Lacy could walk in, but it's not like Marshawn Lynch. Well, Lynch is getting the ball 9 out of 10 times from the 1-yard line. Lacy, it's the other way around. So, not too concerned.
That one time, Lynch, hey, Chris, that one time Lynch didn't get the ball, cost him a championship. But that's neither here nor there. Speaking of which, the Seattle Seahawks are in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Gio Bernard, Jeremy Hill, very, very sneaky, contrarian DFS plays this week. Now, I do not have any prior knowledge of that information. Just to be forthcoming with that. But two players I like this week on the contrarian status are Gio, especially, of course, in the pass catcher running back. Cincinnati, 3-point home favorite in this one. Cincinnati, Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, looking like the real deal. Well, they get one of the best teams in the NFC the past couple years coming into their house this week in the Seattle Seahawks, Chris. And you know what? I'm in on the Bengals players this week. I'm in on them. I'm not worried about the Seahawks defense against Cincinnati.
Yeah, you know, I know we're running out of time. We want to get through some of these games. But real quick, with the Bengals, I mean, Seattle's coming on a short week, cross-country. You got to worry about that. This Seattle offensive line is very bad, Corey. It's not good. You got to worry about everyone. I don't know if you see Lynch again this week. Maybe they rest him with the, you know, eyes on a long season. So maybe you don't see him. Jimmy Graham is underperforming. He's not getting the ball enough. His snap rate keeps going down. And down, his target rate keeps going down. I'm off of all Seattle players right now. It'll be interesting. Everybody will go into this game saying, oh, A.J. Green, he's a stud, but Sherman will be on him. Well, I expect the Bengals to do what the Lions just did with moving Calvin Johnson around and getting him away from Richard Sherman all game, putting him on Kerry Wilson. The guy I'd be worried about if you're a Bengal owner is Marvin Jones. I think they sacrificed Marvin Jones most of the game to Richard Sherman. I wouldn't expect any numbers out of Marvin Jones if they're smart enough to get A.J. Green away from him and put, you know, let him go to the Carrie Williams side, and at least AJ Green can eat a little bit, you know, this
week.
Let's
get some of your thoughts on these 4 o'clock right quick, Arizona and Detroit. Yep.
Bounce back game. I think Detroit, as bad as they've looked, Calvin Johnson's always gotten the upper hand on Patrick Peterson. Golden Tate's been a real big disappointment. The running game is terrible. Another awful offensive line, the Detroit Lions. But Joyke Bell is missing time again this week. He's not going to be around. I would start Amir Abdullah this week. Other than that, on the Lions side, really, Corey, there's not much. Arizona, you got to keep starting all your players. Andre Allington should be back this week. Another three-headed monster running back with the Johnson brothers. Keeps putting Larry Fitzgerald out there, Corey. Other than that, this game doesn't excite me.
New England and Dallas, I think we know the particulars.
Say it again. I'm sorry, bud.
New England and Dallas. I mean, obviously, you know what to do with your New England superstars. Dallas losing, Dunbar goes down. This Cowboy team is not really going to be able to move the football until they get Tony Romo and Dez Bryant back in place. But what do you think about the guys like the Beasleys and the Terrence Williams moving forward?
Here's a crazy stat, Corey. In the last 2 weeks, there's been 14 receptions by Dallas Cowboy wide receivers, and 10 of them have been by Cole Beasley. Now, that doesn't say much for Terrence Williams, even though he did catch that one touchdown. You know what I'll say about this game real quick? Obviously, there's nothing to talk about on the Patriots side. You're starting, the big guns on the Patriots. But Joe Randle, I think, is losing his grip as the starting running back of the Cowboys. I don't know if you see it the same way. He does, and I think that you're going to start seeing him come out of the game in the red zone. They don't trust him with the ball security. He almost fumbled. Corey, but with Lance Dunbar being out now for the year, I'll never say that Christine Michael is someone. I know everybody loves to go crazy about this guy that's never proven a thing, but Darren McFadden could be a PPR back from here on in. And if he's going to lose, and if Randall's going to lose touches in the red zone, it'll be to McFadden, a power back. You're talking a guy that's going to get an uptick in targets, an uptick in carries, and red zone activity. McFadden might be a play from here on in, and he's going to cut into his Joe Randall's playing time. McFadden's snap rates have been going up the last couple weeks as well.
Quickly, on the waiver wire for tonight, don't be surprised if some – inexperienced owner drops down McFadden tonight. Starting to see Darren McFadden drop in the leagues. Chris, we got 90 seconds to go. Denver and Oakland.
Denver, Oakland, look for big games from the Denver wide receivers, Demaryius and Sanders to back back. Emmanuel Sanders hasn't had a big game in a couple of weeks. It might be time that he blows up. I think you're starting to see from here on in Ronnie Hillman taking the lead back role away from a bust C.J. Anderson.
I have Hillman in starting lineups this week, and I have Hillman in DFS lineups this week. Minute to go, Chris, for 49ers in your New York Giants.
Odell Beckham and Reuben Randle, I'd be starting all of them, both of them. Look for a big day from the whole Giants offense, I think. You can't start anybody on this Niners offense at all, Corey, right now.
Not Colin Kaepernick looks horrific, and I think it's the coaching and him. Last but not least, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the San Diego Chargers. Look for a lot of exposure in DFS contest to Phil Rivers and Keenan Allen this week. What do you see other than that? Antonio Gates could be on your waiver wire.
That's what I was just about to say, Corey. Danny Woodhead could be a high-volume PPR back again this week. If Vic can keep up with the Chargers, and it could be a high-scoring game, but I don't know if you could trust Michael Vick. Hold your breath, Antonio Brown owners, because Vic's got to get him the ball.
No doubt. That's week 5 of this takeover. You can follow me on Twitter at the Fantasy Exec, and of course, High Stakes Fantasy Football League Hall of Famer Chris Vaccaro at Chris Vaccaro GST. We'll be back next Wednesday night, fellas.